Since the Halloween episode, I've been harming. Yeah, you know, this never works out. This never works out the way I want it to. Let's try one more time. Okay, great. Cool. SoundCloud's great.
Right in the middle is good. I like
nice
it.
Cloud. Can you, nice can, SoundCloud.
Can you start it over from the very middle?
Yeah, let me.
We're keeping all of this.
I'm sure the beginning's fine.
This is nice.
But, you know, let's skip it.
Let's dive right into it. Let's save some time. Who likes the start of anything? Thank you guys for joining us on the Valleycast. Be sure to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week. Since the Halloween episode, I've been humming this brand new song about a teeny pumpkin. I search it on iTunes and turn up nothing. They ain't got no songs about a teeny pumpkin. A teeny pumpkin, a teeny pumpkin. They're gonna write a song about the teeny pumpkin. Come on, let now, ain't that something? Dang, it is such a catchy song.
Titty Pumpkin.
Titty Pumpkin. I had somebody tweet me and say, hey, I introduced my mom to the Valley Folk with the Halloween episode, and she loved it. And she said, who's the Titty Pumpkin guy?
Hey, man. You're the Titty Pumpkin guy. I'm the gazebo guy. Steve is the
murderer. Yeah.
Welcome to the Valleycast, everybody. This is a podcast put on by the Valley Folk. My name is Elliot Morgan. I'm here today with Joe Beretta and Steve Zaragoza.
Hello.
Is not in currently. She's prepping for a shoot we're going to do tomorrow. And we're here at an early morning here in Sherman Oaks, California. Lovely morn.
It's an evening somewhere.
And we have a candle lit. This is a podcast where we each bring a topic to the table. Somewhere in the middle, we talk about sponsors and we'll throw questions to you guys. And it's all very fun. If you would like to support the Valley Folk, you can go to patreon.com/thevalleyfolk and you can get the podcast early. Our 10 and up or VIP people get this on Mondays along with the full uncensored video, and then all of our other patrons get it on Tuesday before everybody else.
And speaking of other patrons, I'd like to shout out to Nick Perry and
lettersacrosstime.com.
He's one of our 100 tier guys, and one of our 100 tier perks is that you can shout out one of your personal projects on the podcast here. So we're going to shout out lettersacrosstime.com. Check it out. What you do is for $25, you get letters in the mail, up to 6 letters in the mail from a fictional person in history corresponding with you. It's really cool. You can get Tesla. You can get other people's throughout history. He's got a horror section where you could get stories like Angela, the Keystone Curse, and Obsessed, the Other Side. It's really cool, and it's always dope
to get
actual things in the mail.
Yep, super
and they're handwritten, which is also super dope.
In blood,
yeah.
If it's horror, I assume. I can only hope.
So go check it out. It's lettersacrosstime.com.
Guys! If you're a patron, you found this out on Saturday and you got access to a discounted ticket, but we have our second live show ever and our first annual holiday show coming up on December 16th. That's a Sunday in Brooklyn, New York. We're going to be at the Bell House. If you would like to get tickets, they are available. It will sell out. It's $25 in advance or $30 at the door. It includes a meet and greet. It includes a sketch and stand up and hanging out afterward, potentially doing a little karaoke and whatnot. So come by, come hang out, get in the Christmas season. It's going to be in Brooklyn. Sunday, December 16th at 7 p.m.
And if you're on the fence about joining us over at Patreon, maybe now's the time if you're down with live shows, because you could go spend a little bit of cash, become a patron, and get a discount for this live show.
20% discount, which our patrons already know about, and they're already purchasing tickets. It's all very fun, so feel free to join. Guys, what are we talking about?
Well, I'd like to give a shout out really quick to the man who wrote the song we played beginning of the episode. I know it's not technically a Valleycast song, even though we like to play Valleycast intro songs that you guys make. And, you know, we would like more of those, by the way, for those of you that are musically inclined. And for those of you that aren't musically inclined, for God's sakes, get a goddamn microphone and some spoons and sing some. You don't even have to sing. Just do some spoken word.
That's the thing about instruments. Anything can be one.
Say the word Valleycast over and over and over again for 30 seconds. We'll fucking play it. I guarantee it.
We have no standards. We have no quality control.
No, not at all.
We decide right before it's perfect.
We jump right into the Reddit. Honestly, the way we do it is I will jump into the Reddit before we start recording. And I will look for anything that looks like made an intro for the Valleycast.
And press play.
And I hit play.
I had a guy come up to me at some live show and mentioned that he had submitted one of
the
songs.
Yeah, I heard someone say that too, actually.
Yeah, and he kind of was saying it like, you know, if you get a chance to play. And I'm like, oh, I have no idea how any of that.
Well, I talked to someone who said
in my wheelhouse.
We played it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, but you talked to someone who said he submitted one, but he didn't hear it?
Yeah, or he submitted another one or something like that. Yeah, there was something
don't
where...
Don't submit to. There fuck
was,
off.
Basically, I was being asked about the process, and I just remember being like, there's no process.
There's no process.
Yeah, Steve just indicated that there is no filter. However, I will say there is one filter. There's one thing that'll get out some nastiness, and if you make a 3-minute song, it's not getting played.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately. I mean, unless I'm
anything
feeling particularly kind of trolly, and I'll play a 3-minute song just to see how the others
like,
react.
Steve's not lying. Keep it to 30 seconds, because that's
anyway.
That's a choice.
But anyway, that person's name is Aaron Samuel.
Yes, sorry,
who
I keep
created the Titty Bumpkin song.
Thank you, Aaron.
It's okay. Aaron was probably waiting with bated breath for us to mention that he created that song.
We keep deviating.
Super good song. Good job, man.
Great song. He says really that good. He loved the Titty Pumpkin song so much that he and his friend made it real. And for those of you who have no idea what the fuck the Titty Pumpkin song is, first of all, why? And second of all, it is a song featured in the latest episode of your show.
Our Halloween extravaganza spooktacular boo-boo.
Yeah, which is a great episode. And by the way, the poo-poo-y through line runner that
the curse of the poo-poo-y.
The curse of the poo-poo-y short that we created, I think, should become a Halloween classic. And maybe we should just submit it as a short film. And just put it out there as, like, you can watch it on its own.
Get Red or Buffy Festival.
I'm thinking Sundance. I'm thinking...
Yeah.
I'm thinking Slam Cannes. Dance.
Slam Dance.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 All right. Okay. Yeah, man. It's, I think, debatably our best episode.
No, it's great. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. And the bloopers are real good, too.
Did a little bit of producing in that episode. We produced it. It was very nice. Grew up a little bit. Put on our big boy pants.
And the bloopers were the hardest I've laughed. Yep. I was telling stories about how hard I was laughing.
We had a great time on that day. On that day, shooting that.
That was like a collective sigh. You know, when like there's just tension, and it feels like, you know, we're starting a business and it's tough, and you know, we get bogged down by numbers and blah 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 blah. We all sat at that table for 45 minutes and just laughed at each other, and it was a very very nice. Needed sigh.
Oh yeah, it was nice.
I got a story, guys. You ready?
Yes.
You know, sometimes I have stories on this podcast. Hey, I have a question.
I've never heard you tell a story ever.
What is a story? Yeah.
Here's my question. Does it seem to you guys, and I mean this genuinely, because I don't know, I could go either way. Does it seem like sometimes when you think about me, your buddy, Elliot, E, big E, that weird things happen to me? Does it seem like me, is it just in my own head, or do you guys ever get that?
I don't, I do, if I'm being honest with you, I never sit and think weird things happen to Elliot, the universe is against him, and
no, not against, but yeah totally.
or in cahoots to make weird things happen. When I think of my Elliot and his story, I think, man, Elliot brings a lot on himself.
I think anytime I think of weird things happen to Elliot, I think about a deflection of victim mentality,
like me staying away from victim mentality.
No, I think you're deflecting a victim mentality.
I'm trying to wrap my head around what you just said.
Well, I'm not even thinking in terms of bad things. I'm thinking... So
just weird things.
Just weird things. Like, remarkable things. Like, weird, odd...
I think that this is a... I think this is a recent thing. Like, my entire friendship with you, Elliot, I couldn't say that many strange things happened to you really before the catfish thing. Like, the catfish thing might be like the craziest thing that's happened to you in our friendship.
Yeah, the having been catfish.
To be fair, a lot of that is because Elliot's opened himself up to a lot more of living in the last few years.
Yeah, so there's that.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's just a fun, weird thing that happened. This is, and I think too, what this is it seems like these weird things happen to anybody who goes through a series of weird things, but it's a very kind of, it's obviously there's an element of like, can't see the forest for the trees. I think if stuff were to happen, it's much easier from a first person perspective to sort of feel the ramifications of weird things and weird coincidences occurring. But in the realm of coincidences, try this one on. This is a fun one. All okay. Right. So I go to Big Bear over the weekend. And
lovely, beautiful place.
Yeah. And I also, during, I had gone to Big Bear. I rented a cabin. The original plan was for somebody to be in the cabin with me, but they died in a tragic like fire or whatever. And so I didn't tell you guys about it. But
rest in peace.
That doesn't
that
sound
was.
Like a very interesting story.
No,
anyways.
It's not. It's yeah, that part's not interesting.
People die all the time.
People die all the time. It's part of it. Part of life. So anyway, this person dies, and not really. But I go to Big Bear, I'm having a great time. And on the way, like, I was listening to music and I was playing this guy named Ricky Montgomery to you guys last week. I was like, oh, this guy's like, he's super catchy.
You're driving by yourself?
Yeah, I'm driving by myself.
Oh, that's a 3 hour alone time. Good, good,
three
good.
3 hour alone time. And so, having a great
time. Did you listen to any podcasts or anything?
I did listen to some podcasts. Yeah, I listened to the Henry Winkler episode of. You Made It Weird.
I bet you
Pete
that
Holmes.
Was enjoyable.
Henry Winkler is a national
treasure.
He's
a delight.
He's an absolute delight. Yeah. God, I love him so much. He started talking about parenting, and he was saying how he had like ADHD, and as he was saying he had ADHD, he was literally jumping from like topic to topic to topic. I've never really listened to anything like it. It was really cool. But
it's
anyway.
Interesting that Henry Winkler now is like, no, he's not really the Fonz anymore.
No, yeah. He's like, cool, goofy old guy.
He's just cool, goofy old guy from Arrested Development or like, you know, Barry or whatever.
The Water Boy.
Yeah, Water Boy. Yeah. Like, so many people have no idea that this guy was like the coolest motherfucker in the 70s.
Something like that.
Yeah, and people love him now. Like, when he won the award, was it the Emmy? Did he win an Emmy? I think he won an Emmy.
Oh, I didn't see him. I knew he did. I think he did. But
yeah,
I didn't
it was
it.
The Emmys. That was recently. Yeah, he won for Barry, and people were like, over the moon for him, and as he was just delightful in his speech.
He's amazing. The way he, like, his wife is like walking around the entire time and they're like talking to each other. It's so cute. And one thing that he said that was really interesting was how he didn't feel like he'd come into his own as a performer until like 3 years ago. And so this whole time he's just been like trying to figure it out. And he's like, even now, he's like, I'm just now
so
starting
funny.
To, he's like, I've only now started to get out of my own way. And
this
I was like, wow, that's so beautiful and true.
This sounds a little bit like Bob Odenkirk in a way.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk also was just like, I don't know, I did comedy and writing and just shit, working. But then he like was in Breaking Bad, and then he was like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
You get these comedy actors to be in dramas or like to try to act serious, and that's the golden
ticket.
That's
the magic,
I've been doing this for a little while now, and I always, even before I jumped into acting, I always felt that comedians were the best actors because it's a lot harder to do comedy.
Yeah.
And when you give them the chance to cross over and do drama and flex that muscle, they almost always kill it.
Yeah, it's almost like you lock in comedy and then like all the rest of them fall into place underneath that. You could do anything else after that.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So anyway,
wonderful.
Listen, it's beautiful drive up. I'm hanging out with my friends. They're all like married and they have kids. And so there's all these like children running around. And then I'm in this cabin and I'm by myself. And I'm a little lonely, but I'm having a great time and it's beautiful. We go on a hike Saturday. It's this wonderful experience. And there's like kids everywhere. And I'm getting to like reconnect with all these like just these super cute kids. And in my mind, I'm just like, you know, there's a little bit of like just sadness the entire
time.
There's
children there?
Yeah, a lot of children. Yeah, a lot of friends and children. And so we do this hike or whatever. The next morning, I wake up, I go to bed early, and because I'm like getting up early and like experiencing the woods or whatever. And so I get up and I'm laying in bed and I start playing music again, and I start playing this playlist that I made on Spotify. And it had this song on this Ricky Montgomery song. I was like, oh, this guy's really good. I was like, I'm going to look him up and see what he's doing. So I looked him up. I'd already tweeted at him and I was like, hey, I like your stuff or whatever. And he was like, oh, thanks or whatever. And so then, I start looking his stuff up, and he gave up music. He like 2 weeks ago, like a week after I or before.
This
I
is that
said,
young guy that you showed us. Okay,
yeah, super catchy.
It's like pop, really poppy music. Yeah,
really pop music, and I love pop music, especially that's like kind of sad. And so, especially during this time. So anyway, I'm like, oh, this guy's like, I just discovered him. I love what he's doing. He's clearly like, you know, didn't blow up. He was very unknown. And all of a sudden I'm seeing that he kind of quit. And I was just, it got in my head and I was thinking about like quitting and what it, you know, and also just like moving out of the city and then like settling down.
That bold decision to stop.
Yeah, to stop. Exactly. Yeah. And it was interesting because I used to view artists who stopped doing art as sort of like, that's a bummer. It was like a sad thing. And now I'm like, every time, I'm like, good for you. And so, like, you got out. Like, this will destroy your soul if you're not careful. So anyway, this is all happening. And I'm thinking about all this stuff. And then, like, I go to the Village. It's the end of the weekend. And the Village is like this area in Big Bear that's like super cute and beautiful.
That's where the restaurants and like the breweries and stuff are. It's really nice.
Have you been? So you've been there?
Yeah. It's
oh, I've never been.
Magical.
We should all go for winter, get a cabin together, and let's just go hang.
Yeah, sure. That sounds amazing. I got a hookup. But yeah, it's this beautiful town. And the whole time I'm like, why am I sad? Like, I'm having such a good time. And it occurred to me that I want a girlfriend and I want someone to like share all this stuff with, which I don't have. And so I'm texting my friend who's meeting up with like his wife and his baby. And I'm like, hey man, I'm like, I'm just kind of moping around. Like, I'm feeling a little sorry for myself. I was like, so I'm just grabbing a beer and I'll hang out in a little bit. He breaks away. We start trying to find coffee. So we stop at this place that we assume has coffee. And then all of a sudden we switch to Bloody Marys, whatever, what can you do? And so we're at this outdoor bar that's like kind of a crappy restaurant. And It's not great. And we order Bloody Marys or whatever. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom. I urinate. I exit the bathroom. And who is sitting directly behind me?
There's no way it's this guy.
It's Ricky.
Artist.
It's Ricky.
Oh, man. So you followed him there.
I followed him there.
Yeah.
You knew he was going
to
be in
Big
Bear.
You followed him
that
to Big Bear.
Huge, huge fan of this guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, did you saw him?
Immediate. I walked out of the bathroom. That's Ricky Montgomery. That's the guy. And
what
I opened my Spotify. I was mid his song.
Weird.
What the fuck, man?
Did you like change your Spotify song to like Britney Spears just to see?
Yeah.
Like real quick.
That's mean, really funny.
I'm sorry. You mean Paula Abdul? Fuck Britney.
I'm going through his
right.
His playlist of the heart, and Britney's like number one.
It would be Britney, yeah.
Mine would be Mama Cass.
That's really funny. That's so funny. Yeah, I should have done that. Yeah.
Huh. Like, well, yeah. Let's just
let's try this. Elvis.
I would have done like Ben Folds. I would have Elvis. Yeah, that would have been.
See, that this is our new movie. It's the secret Spotify playlist that just brings up whoever.
Oh, is that the
playing.
Movie? The most expensive movie of all time. Yeah.
Not worth the punchline after the first one. So anyway, this guy is there, and I'm like, I sit down after peeing. I'm like, hey, man. I'm like, dude, I'm like, this guy that I just was listening to, I was like, he's right behind me. And he was like, you gonna say hi? And I was like, yeah, I think I have to. And so I get up. So I get up and I'm like, hey, man, I like your music. He's like, yeah, man, you too did. I mean, he's like, Elliot, right? And I was like, he was like, yeah, I did like a dive on you. I saw the whole catfish thing and the response. I was like, ah, you know, we're all artists or whatever. I was
Ricky
like,
Ricky had some time.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I was like,
he's no longer singing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I brought that up. I was like, dude, I just found your music. And like, I just realized, like, you're out. I guess you're done. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, it's just not my thing or whatever. And we chatted for a little bit. And then he introduced me to his friend. His friend is Andrew, who does the editing for Shane's videos. So Shane Dawson's videos. So all this, and Andrew, who's been on a date with the person that was not in the cap. And so I was like,
the person
hey, man,
who died.
The person who died. And so I was like, dude, I was like, we know plenty of mutual people. I was like, it's not worth getting into right now. I was like, but that's so funny. And he knew about the Valley Folk and he knew about the stream we did of Shane's, the first episode.
Wow, where we watched Shane's thing. Yeah.
And I was like, cool, guys. Well, this is really weird. Bye. And
wow.
Yeah. And then it was like, they were super
what
cool.
What were
dudes.
They doing there?
They literally had nothing to do. They looked up at us and were like, do you guys have any idea what to do? And both me and
why
my buddy
did they
John
get,
were like,
why
no,
were they there, though?
To get out of
to
LA.
Get out of the city, yeah.
They were just like weekend in Big Bear?
And we
just
both
like
wound up at a crappy like tourist trap restaurant. Yeah. Hours after I had been listening to the guy's music.
Wow, that's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
You crazy. Manifested that.
There's some weird, it's weird stuff, man. It's just there is a certain level of weird stuff that if it didn't happen so frequently at this point, I wouldn't feel so. I would feel more kooky
uh-oh,
about.
Oh, you're like
it.
You're. I feel like you're a little bit more connected to your simulation theory now.
Simulation or something. I think I'm just not as
the
much
Matrix.
Of a cynic. I think I think I've burst from the.
Oh, that's good. That's positive.
That's a nice thing.
Yeah,
you
I love
feel
that.
Like so. Wait, this wasn't an example of the simulation thing.
Not simulation, but definitely something.
Some
I
sort of serendipitous.
Yeah, some kind of weird. There's just weird stuff.
You probably
that
manifested it.
There's that theory
with energy.
Yeah, there's the theory that there's some kind, and it's, yeah, it's there's just a, it's just strange. Yeah,
can you manifest me up a bagel right now?
Yeah,
can you manifest me $200?
And these things,
I have a bill to pay.
I have a bill to pay. Excuse me, Elliot. I have a bill to pay.
It would be great if that bill just disappeared.
Excuse me, sir. Can you use your superpowers for me?
But anyway, yeah, so that was really weird. And it was one of those things of like, I'm sad.
That's so weird.
The only reason I'm at this restaurant is because I'm moping around because of a girl. And then I go and I drink and I turn around. There's a guy who I have a connection with. And then another guy who I was just listening to his music. And I'm like with my friend and I'm like, thanks for having me on this very strange trip where I'm also like, you know, and it was beautiful. It was so fun.
Did that bring you out of the mopes? Did you turn around just a little bit? Like at least that interesting story get you out of your mind? And did you get to enjoy the last day a little bit more?
I did enjoy it the entire time, but there was definitely just a level of
I get it.
You can only enjoy it so much before it's like, and I'm really good at enjoying things by myself. Like I have a great time with me, but also it does after a while, it's like, you know. It's like you and Alana, which is a beautiful thing. And then I see that and I'm like, oh, man. But then it doesn't, you know, everything in its own time. But then, yeah, that makes everything, even at its best, not be as cool as it could be. If you know,
sure.
Any snow
everybody
on those peaks?
Everybody wants that.
Hmm?
Everybody wants that. They're looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Any snow on those peaks?
No, we went, we did do a little hiking and there was snow on the peaks. Yeah,
baby. Snow-capped peaks.
And let me tell you something. It's so freaking beautiful out there.
Good crisp air in the morning.
So oh, that crisp air. What about those stars at night?
The stars at night, Steve.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. I looked at the stars, and at one point, yeah, got a little high, looked up at the stars. I was like, oh, this is just magical. Yeah, and then I ate a sloppy Joe.
Ricky's going to make a comeback to music with a hit single called Snow Cap Peaks.
The stars at night.
This is going to be called Stop Following Me.
Stop Following Me, Elliot Morgan.
And we find out that he actually stole Pumpkin Titty, and it's topping the charts.
On the album called Stalker.
Imagine how that guy being like, I'm quitting music, I'm done, and then this nerd out of nowhere is like, hey, just found your music, looking forward to seeing you at Big Bear.
I love what you do.
Do you guys think that stars were the TV of the early days? Because it was on every night, and there was nothing else to do.
And it was the same station.
Well, like, you guys coming out to see the stars again? There's nothing else to do.
I love this episode.
We could build another hut. We could do that fire thing again.
A plot twist is a shooting star.
Oh, shit. Did you guys see?
Did not see that coming.
It's like a cliffhanger. Yeah. Dude, did you see the shooting star?
No one believes you.
So dumb.
Does that mean cameras are the first DVR?
No.
Where's
No.
What you looking for, baby?
Oh, no.
Give me one of those tissues so I can put boogers in it.
I might need to find...
You need tissues?
Yeah, give me... I don't give a shit how rough it is. I want it. I want to put boogers in
it. Oh, do it, baby. Ellie, do you have any closing thoughts on your topic?
No, it's just weird, right? I mean, what are the odds of that? It's just crazy. It's just weird.
The odds are so slim.
Yeah. they're so slim that it just makes me go, whatever. This is too weird. Whatever.
Yeah, and the fact that you weren't in LA, it made the odds even slimmer. That's the craziest part. Like, if everybody would be like, oh, yeah, you're just in LA. You're going to come across people all the time.
Yeah.
I tripped on Mark Wahlberg yesterday. He was laying in the street.
Yeah. You know? But even if it was in LA.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, I'm going to get a little something here for you guys.
Guys, we're going to deck you out today. Stay tuned. Listen to this.
Guys, this...
Stay tuned. Listen to this right now.
This episode of the ValleyCast is brought to you by MeUndies. Mm. MeUndies are just the world's most comfortable underwear. And they also have comfortable lounge pants and tees.
Yeah, that's my jam. Baby. I wore some lounge pants from MeUndies in the woods.
Mm. Cover your body.
Made my experience even
better. I've not gotten a pair. I asked for a pair and I have not gotten them, so.
You will, baby.
Guys, fall is finally here. Well, it's more like, aren't we entering winter? Is this fall? We're currently
We're on the cusp of winter, but we're still in fall.
We're in fall.
It's not winter until like December,
yeah,
right?
We're knee deep in fall.
I guess that's true. We are in fall. So we're going to want some cozy essentials, if you know what I mean. Some CEs. The fall offerings from MeUndies are as follows. How about those lounge pants we were just talking about? Well, they're just made from the same micromodal fabric as their undies. So if you ever worn their undies, guess what? Stretch them out. Get comfy, because that's the lounge pants. They're made of that same fabric, and they feel great.
Ooh. Ooh.
You'll be in fall heaven when you cover your entire bottom half with fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton. MeUndies also loves celebrating the fall season with fun Halloween prints. Check out their latest jack-o'-lanterns print in undies, socks, and bralettes.
More like junk-o'-lantern.
We don't care that you're hearing this on October 31st. You're still going to need them for next year. Order them now.
Yeah, or like if you're like me and you celebrate Halloween through November...
Actually, that's why it's called All Hallows Eve.
That's right, because
it's on the cusp of 1 month of Halloween celebration.
The only Eve I care about is Christmas Eve.
Right.
So All Hallows Eve, it extends until
all the way till
Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Oops, I think I spit some at you,
yeah,
Joe.
You did, baby.
There
it's
it is. I found it. I'll put it back in my mouth, or I'll throw it on the ground. You choose.
Mouth.
I'm actually wearing the Halloween jack-o'-lantern print underwear right now, and I absolutely love them. And guess what? I wore them to my Rocky Horror show, and got a lot of compliments when I was changing backstage.
I'm wearing pups.
The puppers.
I'm wearing some puppies.
Some puppies. Get a slow zoom on those puppies.
How about a fast zoom on those puppies? How about a go lightning fast zooming into those puppies? I want the audience to get scared.
I'm gonna leave these up around my belly button.
Do you want to know the best part about these offerings, guys? These fall offerings. When you join the membership, you can get all of this stuff: the lounge pants, the tees, and undies. Everything MeUndies makes for less than anyone else at special member pricing, and it's just one of the many perks of joining the membership.
Do it.
We've already talked about why MeUndies is the best underwear and how we all love it. We all wear it. We all think it's great. So let's just get straight to the point here, guys. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners, for any first-time purchasers.
First-time purchaser.
When you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping.
15% and free shipping.
It's a no-brainer, guys. Get your 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you'll ever put on.
Wow.
You know where you got to go to get it?
Where do you go?
How about MeUndies.com/valley?
That's MeUndies.com/valley.
Guess what you get when you go there. 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Ooh.
Utilize it.
We will.
I dare you to not like this underwear.
Ooh.
Ooh. Because guess what? If you don't, you get that 100% satisfaction guarantee, goddammit.
Mm. All right.
That's MeUndies.com/valley, guys. MeUndies.com/valley.
Ooh, but it doesn't stop there. Keep that music going. We're going to deck out your whole body. Elliot, what you got, baby?
Oh, well, I was going to tell you guys about this new service that I've fallen in love with. My box is currently on its way. It might be waiting for me when I get home. I'm talking about Stitch Fix, guys. It's an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes directly to you that fit your body, your budget, and your lifestyle. We've talked about Stitch Fix before. I'm going to tell you about them again. I'm wearing their jeans right now. Incredibly comfortable. All you got to do is Stitch Fix. Thank you, Joe. All you got to do is go to stitchfix.com/valley. Let them know what your sizes are. Always good to know. Go to a tailor if you don't know. I highly recommend that just as a life thing. It helps more than you realize. Tell them what kind of style you like. If you don't know, they'll figure it out for you, but you can give them kind of, you know, clues and they'll fill in the blanks for you. And tell them how much you want to spend on each item. That way they're not going crazy and giving you stuff that you can't afford, because nobody wants that. You'll be paired with your very own personal stylist who will handpick items and send them to your door. And then you can try them on, look at yourself in the mirror, feel good about yourself for a second, pay only for what you love, and then you return the rest. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. And if you know what? You know what they also are? Easy. There's a couple things that didn't fit me right. I put them in a bag, put it in a post office, they shipped it right to. Perfect. Wonderful time. There's no subscription required. You can sign up to receive scheduled shipments or get your fix whenever you want. Mm. And then Stitch Fix styling fees only $20, and that is applied toward anything you keep from your shipment. So in the long run, you really don't pay for it at all. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to get started now at stitchfix.com/valley, and you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all the items in your box. That's a huge, huge savings. That's stitchfix.com/valley to get started today. That's stitchfix.com/valley.
Guys, you got your underwear, you got your clothes covering your torso and your legs, and possibly some shoes, maybe a hat from Stitch Fix. This episode's also brought to you by Vincero. Luxury watches, handcrafted, fair prices. Check out that baby on my wrist right now. Our mission is to create compelling luxury timepieces with impeccable craftsmanship to inspire as many people as possible to elevate their game and ultimately live their legacy. The goal is to inspire as many people as possible. They learn that luxury is a process. It's not about specs, it's not about price, and it's not a marketing term to be thrown around. It's about attention to detail, a step-by-step process to craft every product. It's a process that separates us from the competition. It's a belief that you deserve the best. One more. Vincero literally means, I will win. It's also why every one of their designs are rooted in the values of bold, daring, and pioneering. It's their hope that each piece instills a sense of rebellious confidence in the wear. Keep things classy, but never be afraid to challenge convention. It's time to live your legacy.
Live your legacy.
And we will be right by your side. It's really good. I actually love it. It's I don't wear watches, but I do wear these because it's very classy and it makes me look good. And it totally complements my broken wrist on the other side.
You're perfectly balanced.
Yeah, it's time to balance.
To those of you who have messaged us or tweeted us photos of your Vincero watches, it's very nice of you, and it's fun to see them. Thank you for doing that. It helps us.
So if you'd like to be getting some Vincero on your wrist, go to VinceroWatches.com/ValleycastOctober and enter the promo code VALLEYCAST to get 15% off of your entire order. That's one more time. That's VinceroWatches.com/ValleycastOctober. And enter the promo code VALLEYCAST to get 15% off of your entire order. You're welcome, your bodies.
Quick announcement, guys.
Born is the key.
Born is the King of Israel.
You guys might be thinking, wow, that was a long time dedicated to sponsors. Yeah, and we had three sponsors. Think we're
when
pretty
you could
excited
shut
about
your mouth.
That.
Yeah, we're trying something different. We want to do them all in,
and we're trying
in
to
one
keep
go.
The, we're trying to keep the doors. We're trying to keep the doors open.
Thank you to all our sponsors.
Yeah, thank you guys, and feel free. And that's kind of cool how it worked out like mm-hmm. that, how it was watches and outerwear and innerwear.
Yeah,
and
yeah, just be stylish all around
yeah.
with the ValleyCast.
If somebody gets all three, please send a photo of wearing just like
yeah, hit us up on Twitter
everything.
And let us know, because that's
yeah.
awesome.
Imagine
really cool.
wearing fresh, new, stylish shit for once.
I don't, yeah.
It is the best when you have the, anyway. I'm really excited about the next Ooh. Topic.
Okay, yeah, okay. Can I go?
Yeah, go.
Because it's kind of like, it involves you and it involves you. It involves yeah. all of us a little bit. And I'm kind of piggybacking on your life and stepping on something that maybe you wanted to talk about, but maybe not. Here we go. Ellie and I, on Thursday night, went and partook in the Rocky Horror Hipsters show, which starred Steve Zaragoza.
Yeah, thanks, man.
And it was such a delight. I'm still on a high from it. Like, specifically with you, watching you as a friend and lover, I sat there and I was just filled with, like, I was filled with dorky pride. Like, I kept catching myself just like I had my arms crossed in my mesh shirt with my nipples hanging out because you gave me that shirt to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had this dumb look of like, there's my Steve and he's killing it and the audience loves him. And that filled me with pride. And then I was also filled with just like elation of watching a really good show that I'd never seen before, which was awesome because it was my first Rocky Horror. It was your first Rocky Horror as well.
First
right?
experience with the franchise.
So we got the V on our forehead and everything.
The Virgin, yeah.
And like I saw the movie way back in the day. I obviously didn't remember much of it.
Got so your it, girl Susan Sarandon in it.
Yes, it does. And it the live show, and Steve, you'll be able to correct me if I'm wrong on the other versions of this live show for Rocky Horror, was just so energetic and intimate and filled with love. And I'm just overjoyed with it. And the music has been stuck in my head.
It's so good.
I taught my son the time warp dance. So now we do that together and it's really
Perfect.
Fun. I want to be in the show someday. I wanted to go to your other two performances. It's tragic that there's only three of them.
I know. It's crazy.
But I loved it. And so many cool things happened that night. And I want to get your thoughts on being in the show. Elliot, I want to hear about what you said or what you saw and how you felt. Kate, who's here, was also a virgin at the show.
We don't need to talk about what Kate contributed to this.
And man, she had an embarrassing moment, which we'll get into.
Yeah,
in
she
a second.
Totally did.
But she killed it. She killed it. But I also was like feeling a lot of really, really deep empathy for her in that moment.
I wasn't. I was like, let's see how she handles this.
Yeah, I felt so bad.
Well, I did feel kind of bad. Well, I felt like me, Joe, and Steve should have all just left the building.
Yeah, I mean, well, I couldn't. Yeah. So I was.
So basically,
I wouldn't.
I was stuck.
The gist of it is, does every live version of that show start with something like that? Do you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's, so basically
Before
like.
Before we talk about that, Kate, are you okay if we talk about what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Rocky,
it's on social media.
Oh, it is? Okay.
In Rocky Horror tradition, if you are a quote-unquote virgin, if it's your first time seeing the show, they bring you up on stage to do, like, random things. It's not always what they did, but but it is random. Like, they kind of embarrass you. They take you up there to embarrass you or to kind of, like, get you out of your shell a little bit and prepare you for the debauchery to follow.
It's the precursor to a pretty out there show.
It's a risque show. Yeah, it really is. If you haven't seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show, do yourself a favor and at least see that movie because it's a cult classic.
And Tim Curry's next level.
Tim Curry's just, I mean, honestly, incomparable. He's just this like star. He shines bright like a diamond. And if you want to see Tim Curry like killing it, just check that out. Also, Worst Witch. You ever seen Worst Witch?
No.
He's in that movie and it's really bizarre. It's very strange. Out. But anyway, but yeah, so they do this thing where before the show starts, they like to prepare people for what's to follow. And so in our particular version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, they were inviting people on stage who were virgins. So basically before the show starts, they send some of the Phantoms, which are the backup dancer girls, backup singer girls. They send the Phantoms out into the crowd to put V's on people's foreheads with makeup.
Which, side note, because society is a little different now, there was a lot of indications of like, this is how it used to be, but we have to do it this way now because of consent and stuff like that.
Yeah, it used to be pretty crazy.
Yeah, even it started even with that moment. And I don't know if you knew or not, but they would come out and instead of being like, is this your first time? Yes. And then they would just put a V on your head. They went, is this your first time? And you go, yes. And they go, do I have consent to put touch a V you? On your head?
Yeah. It was a very progressive show, despite the fact that the show itself is not very progressive. there's basically like full rape happening in the movie, in the story, in the script, in the in the play, and we addressed that in our version too, which was really funny. But super woke version of the show. So I didn't know that they were asking consent for that, but it makes total sense.
I thought it was very interesting.
Maggie Levin directed this particular production of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, titled The Rocky Horror Hipster Show, and she just like assembled this like beautiful, wonderful cast of people that like, I know everyone says like, oh, I love everyone on the cast and everyone's great, like literally everyone is a fucking treat, everyone, it just, we became this family. I joined this production that had been going on for 4 years, and I was supposed to join it way back in the day in the Frankenstein MD days when I worked with Anna on Frankenstein MD. And so Anna has played the role of, Anna Laurie has played the role of Columbia every year. So they skipped last year because they said 2 years ago, they said they weren't going to do it anymore. And they skipped last year. And then this year they were like, no, we loved it so much and it sucked. And everybody hated that we skipped last year. Mm-hmm. So anyway, their Eddie dropped out this year. And so they asked me to be in it. Mm-hmm. And I just like...
Fortuitous.
I know, it was it was...
It's like your role. It was made for you. Yeah, well, it was made for Meatloaf, but then you got to take it.
Yeah. And I even had so many people after each performance come up to me and go like, you were like, you're like an updated Meatloaf. You're like Meatloaf 2.0. And I was holy shit. God, that's insane.
Best compliment ever.
Absolutely. I didn't know what to do with that information. And it was hard to handle because I was like, man. No, Meatloaf is a goddamn rock god. But
it's not unearned.
Well, thank you, Elliot. I appreciate that. But I was welcomed into this group of people that were all very close and it's a very tight-knit family group. And the first rehearsal ever, everyone was like reminiscing and throwing out old like jokes and things like that. And I was like, oh God, this is going to suck for me for a little bit. But they just welcomed me right in and it was wonderful. And luckily I wasn't the only newcomer. The guy that played Brad Majors,
he was good. Yeah, Brad. They were all good. There was not a weak link in the show.
Yeah, everyone. So that's the thing. It's like, and then even like the first rehearsal or the first read through of the script, everyone was singing. It was kind of uncomfortable because it's like you go to sit down to read the script for the first time with everybody, and it's like we're doing full singing for everything, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, well, here we go. I'm just gonna sing in front of all these people I've never met in my life.
But you kill those moments.
Well, and I felt very nervous before, and then like as soon as these incredible singers start singing, I was like, oh shit, these are like professional fucking,
they could belt
performers.
Yeah.
Helen Highfield, who played Janet, is just this like incredible angel girl that just has this voice of a goddess essentially, and it never cracked, and it never mm-hmm. it was just perfect. Every time we were rehearsing, it was just like perfect pitch, perfect tone, perfect, like it was just everything. She's just this angel. But anyway, everybody's just fantastic. But holy shit, man, it was like 3 weeks of rehearsal mm-hmm. and then 3 nights of performance, and it was just like the most high energy, amazing, fun thing I've been a part of in such a long time. Like, I can't describe it. I want more. Yeah. Saying
you got infected,
dude. I want. Everyone was saying by the third night too, and it's funny because like by the third night, Brad, the guy who played Brad, lost his voice like almost completely. Oof. And so he was like modulating the songs, and it still sounded really good, but by the end of the show he was like, And Jeff, who plays who played Rocky, was like, who is also an incredible man and just the sweetest, kindest person you'll ever meet in your life. His voice was almost gone too, and so everybody was just like, they were powering through. So I was like, if we did another weekend of this, I don't think we could.
That's what understudies are for.
Exactly.
Rewind back to the start of the show, they bring the virgins on stage.
And, oh, yeah.
So, Kate, our editor shooter, she's there supporting Steve, and she gets brought up on stage.
Well, actually, let's actually step even further back. I think what actually happened was is that my girlfriend, Alana, was there too.
Yeah.
And she was also a virgin and got a V on her forehead. And because Alana was chosen randomly, I think, unless everybody knew it was her.
They
everyone were knew it was her, and they were like, well, no, what about when they chose
her,
though?
They asked for people who were virgins, and Alana emphatically put her hand up. And
well,
then,
that's what I'm saying.
And then grabbed Kate's hand and said, you're coming with
me. But what I'm saying is like, when she raised her hand, like, she must not have been the only person that was raising her hand.
She walked to the stage and got in.
Oh, she wanted to do it.
Not as many people were raising their hand as you might expect.
Okay, so here's the thing.
So Kate rushed the stage, basically.
So Alana is like this beautiful ray of sunshine, and she's this positive, like energetic pixie love woman, and she is down for fucking anything. And so her perception of this virgin sacrifice or whatever it was before the show was that she was going to do something kind of fun, something kind of sexy, something in along the lines of the show. But she had no idea what they were actually going to make her do.
Yeah.
And I think that once she found out, she decided that there was no way in hell she was going to do it alone. So she grabbed Kate.
Yep.
And just dragged her onto the stage.
Let's go ahead and say what Kate did. We've been beating her on the
podcast. All right. So here's what the thing is. Basically, what they do is they have a orgasm sound competition.
Yeah.
And they bring up like four people on stage.
Orgasmatician.
It was an orgasmathon.
Orgasmatician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's basically like everyone takes a turn doing their best orgasm impression. And then the best one wins a sex toy, essentially, which was a big...
This happened to be like a DJ dildo.
Yeah, which was essentially like just this giant sparkly dildo. Yeah. And a bunch of people went up before and performed before them. And then it comes time for Alana to do it. And from what I understand from what Kate said, Alana basically forced you to join her.
No.
Okay, so you were okay. Yeah, come over here. Just come over here and tell us what happened. Here, you can use my mic. Step over.
I'm just gonna see.
Oh God.
So we went up there, and then when Alana found out what was gonna happen, she started shaking like really bad. And she's like, I was like, "You did this to us. You brought us up here." We're like,
she started.
We're just cursing. Yeah. No,
had a real
no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was not the point of the game.
We were basically just cursing
and she
back
immediately
and forth.
Lost.
And then she grabs me and goes, "Do you want to do it together?" And I was like, "Yeah, we can do it together." She goes, "Okay. I'm going to go up and down on you." And she goes, then she grabbed me. She goes, "Do I have your consent?"
So I have to break up with her now because that's cheating.
That's a little much.
Yeah. I didn't know she was going to.
She didn't ask for
I didn't know she was going to rip her shirt off at the end of it, though.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch. But I wanted to do it. It was okay.
Wait, Caitlin. What? My secondhand embarrassment was for you knowing that you had to do that in front of us.
Yeah, see, I started out strong. Through your mind? I started out strong, and then I saw you in a mesh shirt while I was yelling, and then I just kind of stopped moving and froze, and she was still going, but you were still standing there in a mesh shirt.
Yeah.
And then I was like, "Elliot's over there on the other side." And then I looked in the back and saw Steve holding an iPhone like this, and I was like, okay.
Well, because I was in the backstage getting ready for the show, and then I heard someone in the doorway yell my name, and I was like, why is this happening? And then so I just took my time changing still, and then as soon as I stepped out the backstage doors to look at the stage, I saw you and Alana on stage, and I was like, uh-oh, here we go. And so, of course, I had to pull out my fucking camera.
Yeah, is there a video?
Oh, yes. There is a video.
I might mute it and put it on this. I'm not going to...
You just put chicken sounds over it.
Yeah, I'm not going to put the real audio in
Kate,
it.
Kate, you did amazing. I can't imagine what was going through your mind at that moment, but you're a rock star and way to kill it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like it really sets the tone for the show, and it gets everybody kind of worked up. And again, the whole thing is kind of like that. So it really is like a fun way to kind of get the show going.
You know what I really loved about the whole thing is that they did this show in a really small bar with a small stage and a live band. And when we say small room, small stage, the stage might have been 10 feet wide, 5 feet deep. And then the whole audience was right up on the stage. It was that intimate. And it was hot and it was sweaty and it was loud, but everybody felt like they were part of the show. And the only thing that I felt I missed out on, but it's okay because I feel like you have your virginal experience with this show, is that there's so much back and forth with this cult classic performance. Like the audience knows when to yell things at the stage and at the narrator and stuff like that. And it's so much fun. And I was getting a kick out of all the stuff. And then you find out that every time they say Brad, you get to say, what do you say?
Asshole.
And Janet, you say slut. And it's so much fun.
Yeah. It's audience participation. And it really is something that's like a tradition in Rocky Horror, like way back in the early performance days, where they just found places to just yell shit out. And then a lot of shit just stuck. They were telling me about one year there was a guy who like knew everything, and then even more stuff that they didn't know, that the cast didn't know, and Maggie didn't know. And Maggie's like this expert on Rocky Horror, essentially. And this guy would just like not stop. And it got to the point where it was like disrupting the performance to like a crazy degree. Mm-hmm. And so someone had to go over to him and just be like, dude, please, can you just like do the ones that are good?
Yeah, there was a dude at our show. Dude at our show doing that. And I was telling Elliot, I was like looking at him, I was getting upset. And I was like, well, this is just his Rocky Horror experience.
Yeah.
So I can't get angry at it. This is how he chooses to do it.
I mean, and it is one of those things where it's like you don't really want to go to a show and see your favorite band and the guy next to you is belting out all the songs while they're also singing the songs and kind of ruining the experience for you. But Rocky Horror is supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be. Yeah. I mean, you're not supposed to like talk over the actors and destroy the show, but it really is meant for audience participation.
Right.
In fact, there's even more elements of the show that the audience, we ask the audience not to participate in, and I think now they just know after the fourth year, but people throw rice at Brad and Janet during the when he proposes to her, and then people throw confetti at certain moments.
Not in that room.
No. It's just not. It just doesn't work.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had a great time. It was a very good pick me up too. It was like a nice, like you can't leave. I at least in my experience didn't leave feeling. I left feeling better than having gone.
We left on a high. I remember walking down the street and Elliot and I were.
No, I would like to speak at some point.
We were. We were essentially skipping down the street together.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a very beautiful, very horny show. It definitely is a show that makes people horny.
That and the Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense. I loved it. I thought it was great. It was very musical theater. Every single person was incredibly talented. There's something that's very beautiful about a show that's we give Los Angeles a lot of crap and well deserved most of the time, but there's something about that just seemed very uniquely LA in like a good way, that there's just this group of people who will put on a free show for the love of it and then like create this environment, and then everyone is on the same page and everyone is welcome, and there's like a really truly like beautiful sense of camaraderie that's really cool that I like a lot. And I never experienced Rocky Horror. I wasn't allowed to watch it, and I definitely get why. But I it still was like, yeah, it was a cool thing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying with like, because I think we talked about like it was both of our virginal experiences, but we're a little older in life. I kind of wished I saw it earlier. I wish I would have experienced this in like my later high school, early college years. You were saying you probably couldn't have been able to mentally handle it.
Wouldn't have been able to appreciate it. Yeah, I would have been very freaked out by it.
It could turn you off right away if you're kind of like not into some of the like more risque themes, sure.
Yeah, even the plot itself is sort of one of what would be defined as like corruption or some kind of like debauchery. Like it's a descent into that world through the lens of...
It's out there. But I will say that if you are somebody that has been curious about this show and you've never went to it, and I put myself in this boat back in the day because you thought it might be a little weird or you didn't fit in or whatever. It was all inclusive. It was super fun. I felt like I experienced something that, like you were saying, I would not have been prepared for back in the day, or at least I thought I wasn't. And I think you will be, because the room is love, and you should go.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, the thing about it is, like, it is a labor of love. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, the entire time it's like, oh, this actually feels like a weirdly loving environment to people, even though I was completely enamored the entire time. Like, like no idea what was going on and trying to take everything in. It was absolutely a sense of love.
And that's the thing. It's like everybody, again, like, even, like, we haven't mentioned the band that plays along with them.
Great.
And, like, in a world where, like, pre-recorded karaoke tracks are played a lot of the times, this was like a fucking rock and roll band.
Yeah. Yep.
Bassist, keyboardist, lead guitar, and drummer.
Killing it, too.
On that fucking tiny stage, all dressed up also in like the high heels and corsets and shit and bras. And
so is that not normal? Is that not standard to do
a full band?
Yeah,
well, I mean, you want to. You definitely want to and hope to, but it's not always possible because it's like, you know, I mean, it's a lot.
I didn't know if that was like part of the lore or something. If that like
I mean, original ones, yes. But you know, when you do like a high school production or something, or like when you do like a musical, like a local theater version, it's like easier to kind of just do the tracks, I guess. But
not as much fun.
Definitely not as much fun.
The energy was so...
Loved it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that band is, like, absolutely incredible. Like, again, it's, like, you're right. It's very L.A. in the essence, at its core, because it's just, like, these friends just making a show together and doing it well, which is, like... And it is one of those things where it's, like, like, if you might be listening to this, and there's no way we can kind of, like... really convey what it felt like to be a part of it and to experience it, but I'm telling you, it was just this, like, it's this... kinetic thing that just is lit. Like, if you dragged someone to see that, it would be very hard for me to believe that they wouldn't have a good time.
You know how they say, like, a bit, there's a conversation out there right now that is saying, like, streaming's killing movie theater experiences, but then there's the other half of that aisle of that debate that's like, no, it's not, because people always want to still congregate and experience something together. That's what it was. It's just this massive group of people that don't know each other witnessing something together and feeding off each other's energy, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and Maggie said something before the final performance to all of us that, like, really resonated with me, and it was really sweet. She, like, wrote out this whole thing where she was just like, we're basically providing joy as a service to people at a time where, like, they need it the most.
It was very apparent there was a sigh of, like, relief in the room, and as creatures who tend to be introverted and not social, there's a objective value to, like, being surrounded by a bunch of people in a tight room and sweating and, like,
and you're all, like,
on some level. Yeah,
exactly. And it is that kind of thing where, like, the entire crowd is just working together. Everyone's working together in that room to fuel that energy. And it really is one of those things where it's like, it's such an inclusive show, like you were saying, and it's just everybody, it's for everybody, even if you're kind of, like, a little nervous and shy.
I think the sex and the risque nature of it all is kind of just like the wrapping around a more robust package. Like, once you get over, like, just the outside looking in and you get into the show itself, it's fun, it's crazy, it's a throwback to back in the double feature science shitty movies back in the day. It's like, there's so much fun
stuff.
It's got
like a Frankenstein story, basically.
Yeah, really cool. And then the people, it's the crowds were everyone was so nice. Like, there was some people behind me, I think, that were on mushrooms, and they were having the time of their lives. And it was super, super funny to hear them talk. But then anytime they would, like, lightly graze me, they would be like, I'm so sorry, man. I'm so, so sorry. And I'm like, dude, you're fine. Like, it's totally cool.
Our buddy Will Haynes was there, and he was dressed like Will Haynes dresses. And that's a little bit more, you know, buttoned up. And by the end of the show, his shirt was open and his chest was out and everybody was having a good time.
He's just taking it completely off like he does.
You know what it made me realize as well is, like, you know, I'm a big fan of Hedwig, and it made me realize that Hedwig is like a love story to that to Rocky Horror.
Yeah, absolutely.
It took so much inspiration from it, and it's so good. So I walked away a lifelong fan of the production. I'm gonna go to it anytime that it's playing from here on out. I really want to go to a midnight showing of the movie and see what
I want to go to other live performances of it too. Like, I'm hooked now.
I also really want to be in it. I want to be in this show,
dude.
Someday.
I know that, and I told them too. I was like, this other Eddie that you've had for 3 years prior, 3 years, I was like, where do I find him and where do I subdue him? How do I kill him? So that I can never...
How does he stay silenced?
Yeah, how do I keep him away? And Maggie was like, you're Eddie. You're our Eddie.
That's
like,
so nice. She's
like, and I was like...
What's the name of the guy, the character that sings Time Warp?
Oh, Riff Raff.
I want to play Riff Raff.
Yeah, Riff Raff is such a good role.
I want to play Riff Raff. Everybody's going to try to make me play Brad. I want to play Riff Raff.
Yeah, you shouldn't play Brad.
I want Riff Raff so bad.
Elliot should play Brad.
You'd be a good Brad.
I'll play Brad, everybody.
and Lee can be Janet or Columbia or...
Oh, Brad is the main guy.
The main guy.
Yeah, the sweet. Yeah, definitely.
You could Brad it up real good.
Yeah, that's, I think that'd be fun. But he was great. Wow. Wow.
I know. Everybody, that's the thing.
The whole
it's like,
thing, yeah.
They're all good.
For those listening, we're just this is so idiosyncratic because we are talking about an experience.
An experience we had.
Yeah, so if you've stuck with us through this, thank you. But please know it's only coming from a place of mutual love and respect.
Oh,
and
I guess everybody's got their Rocky Horror.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, and I guess like if I could translate this to like kind of more of like your speed, those of you that are listening that have not experienced something like this, like, you know, musical theater and live performance of some plays or whatever, those, if you've not experienced some form of musical theater, I implore you, try. Just go to some, even like a local production of Cats or like, you know, whatever, Book of Mormon that travels around. Go see some of these shows. There's just this, there's nothing like it.
Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, I used to go to a theater called Theater Winterhaven in Florida, and it shaped who I am as a person more than any other experience, I think, as a kid. And it was doing play after play, year after year, and becoming obsessed with it and then getting into acting. It's like, for sure, what led me to here. And I think anybody who has the option should definitely see some kind of play, some kind of theater. I think musical theater for sure, but I also think just straight plays, like getting out into an environment, you're sitting with a bunch of old people, it's super cute, or you go to Rocky Horror and it's a bunch of young people.
Yeah, we've talked about the musical theater experience before. It's my favorite form of entertainment.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a better example of human ability and talent than musical theater. The spectacle, the dancing, the singing.
I'd like to see your musical theater and raise you carpentry, Joe. I feel carpentry does that.
Carpentry is a big part of musical theater, so it works.
You're right.
It's amazing. And the difference, not even the difference, you know, you go to like a Pantages theater or a big like Broadway play and you see the spectacle of it all, and that's kind of the bigness of it is kind of what wows you, and then you have the intimacy of the talent on stage and the human interaction
and black
connection.
Box theaters.
But
and,
then
yeah.
The one we did with Steve was kind of like a little bit different because you're watching a show like on Broadway, but Steve's made you feel like you were part of it because it was so intimate and close. And anyways, yeah, love musical theater.
If you guys are also kind of on the fence about, because you're like, oh, musical theater can be kind of expensive too, like going to see a Broadway show is kind of expensive. This is not a sponsor, but I have to tell you that there's something I just learned about that I'm like fucking so stoked about. It's called Broadway HD, and it's literally a streaming service for live Broadway shows.
It's in theaters, right? Or is this at
home?
No,
it's for home.
Cool.
You can watch it on your TV or on your phone or whatever.
That's amazing. That's great.
It's huge.
Smart
it's
move,
huge.
Broadway.
Yeah, huge, huge, huge. Yep. So I'm very excited. But yeah, you can, I mean, again, maybe they could be a sponsor. We could reach out to them or something. But there's like, you know, I don't know. What am I looking at? There's all the Disney stuff. There's Oklahoma, Les Miserables, things like that.
I see my first Broadway show like a week from today or something
what
like that.
What are you going to?
A week from yesterday. I'm going to see Wicked.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's
really,
so cool.
My mom
that's
and
a great
my
one.
Brother and me, I'm so excited. I'm really so. I've never seen the Broadway show and I can't wait. I'm going to wear clothes. I'm going to go. I'm going to have a drink.
Get fancy,
dude. I'm going to get nice and fancy. I'm going to wear Dockers, a button down, perhaps a cardigan over it, and try to bundle up in that New York cold.
Guys, I just wanted to say, I think we talked quite a bit today, and I just want to thank everybody for listening to today's episode, and you know, we didn't get to a third topic, but it's okay.
We gushed
sometimes
together.
We'll do it. We gushed. We had a good time. How lovely are my branches. So, guys, thank you so much for listening, and I just want you all to know that we appreciate the patrons who get this podcast first, and they also get the full video version of the podcast, unedited. You peons get it later on the YouTube channel. It is heavily chopped. It is chopped.
As a special reminder, we have our holiday show on December 16th in New York City, Brooklyn, at the Bell House. It's at 7 p.m., and you can get tickets in the links in the description here. If you're a patron, you heard about it on Saturday, you got a discount. But it's going to be a really good time, so come on by. Lots of stand-up, lots of questions, lots of songs.
Also,
characters, Santa Steve.
If you're around Wednesday evenings, we do Twitch streams on twitch.tv/thevalleyfolk, where we play... Jackbox games with you, and we also do games like Mario Party. Sometimes we do watch parties, or we watch your show together, and... Actually, coming up this month and into November, we're going to be giving away game codes, video game codes.
Video game codes.
The new Assassin's Creed game. We got several copies of that to give away on Xbox and PlayStation 4.
Come hang out.
So if you stick around, maybe you'll win a game. How about that?
I brought my titty pumpkin.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Valley Cast.
Please bring your titty pumpkin.
All right. Well, goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Oops, here comes the train wreck. That's the... Why did that pop? Oh, because this felt like a train wreck.
Yep.
Right,
goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
And Merry Christmas to you.
But on that note...
Said Merry Christmas, and that's where... What's the note?
I was just going to say that...
It's got
in case
two
you were
tits,
curious.
It's this pumpkin shit. Two big double D tits.
What's in my stocking this morning? Ooh yeah, it's titty pumpkin.